Our meeting will come to order, please. A quorum is present. Representative Krisha, would you move the minutes from January 29th, please?
Yes, Madam Chair, I will move the minutes as presented, and they are fine.
Representative Krisha moves the minutes from January 29, 2015. Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, all those in favor of approving the minutes from January 29, please say aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. The motion prevails, and the minutes are approved. Members, today we have three bills before us. The first two have to do with the school start date. So, Representative Norton, would you and Representative Krisha please come to the table? And members, what we're going to do is we're going to hear the presentation of Representative Norton's House File 100, and then we'll hear the presentation of Representative Krisha's 466. Then we will hear those who favor this these provisions, and then we'll hear from those who have concerns. My intent is to move House File 100, the Representative Norton and others bill, for possible inclusion in a future omnibus bill, but to move Representative Krisha's bill once he has it amended to the General Register. So good morning, both of you. Representative Norton will begin with you, and I will move House File 100 to be before us and to be placed for consideration in a future omnibus bill. Please introduce yourself and explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's a pleasure to be back in front of this committee. My name is Kim Norton, and I have before you House File 100. In 2015, Labor Day will fall on September 7th, and in 2016 on September 5th, which means the first day of school for Minnesota children will begin after that. This pattern will repeat itself after a few years of somewhat earlier starts, and then we'll see this bill, or one like it, back before the body if we don't do something now. We have an opportunity to stop the need for repeated asks and for the uncertainty facing districts once and for all with the compromise bill I have before you today. This isn't a new issue, and many of you have heard the bill many times, although I know there are a few of you that are new to the committee, so I will give a brief overview. In House File 100, I'm asking that school districts be given the authority, not the mandate, to start school prior to Labor Day, beginning in the 2015-16 school year. The bill assigns the Thursday and Friday prior to Labor Day as non-school days to facilitate a long weekend to accommodate the concerns of the Minnesota Fair Board and the resort industry. It is a compromise that tries to address good education policy, but also serves to ease the perceived economic impact of the concerned industry. There are a myriad of reasons for addressing this policy that is out of sync with almost every other state in the country. We are one of only three states that government the micromanaging of school districts with a pre-Labor Day start date requirement. So I'm going to give you just a few of the reasons I have this bill before you. One is that we should be putting students' academic needs first. Districts are struggling to raise academic standards and close the achievement gap, and yet we do not give them the flexibility to address the needs as they may wish. Examples of this would include districts' inability to try to address the summer academic loss, particularly in math and spelling. And in Minnesota, AP students in the second semester get weeks less instruction prior to taking their AP exams, which puts them at a disadvantage for college credit and financial savings among students across the country. My second reason would be inconsistency. My own district has had their request for an early start to address academic needs denied due to the current law, although one of our districts has a 45-15 schedule and they are permitted to start early. Other districts in southwest Minnesota have formed a consortium and been successful in gaining an exemption. So many districts in southern Minnesota have this opportunity. Charter and private schools may start when they want, and we allow districts under construction to be given exemptions from the Labor Day requirement. Let's give every district the right to look at their own needs and set their own calendars. My third reason is an outdated calendar. The agrarian calendar no longer meets the needs of today's society or our students. A pre-Labor Day start might be a much better match for families whose children are already participating in fall sports and athletics. And I might mention that 88,000 students are already engaged in fall sports, and their families' travels are limited for that reason. Also, many colleges and PSEO starts are in August, and so for the 20% of families, at least in my district, that actually have children that are in school, they're already limited in their travel. Local control and flexibility. Communities and school districts and local elected officials can and should be the ones to make decisions about their community, their family, and their students' needs. And lastly, it's an unnecessary mandate. Every year, this body is asked to comb the statutes to repeal unnecessary and costly mandates, and this should be an easy addition to that list. Again, Madam Chair, this bill does not mandate a pre-Labor Day start, but it does allow local control and decision-making about what's best and what fits the needs for individual districts. Those that prefer a post-Labor Day start will be allowed to keep them based on their community's needs. Those that prefer a different calendar based on academic and community needs will be allowed to choose differently. And so, Madam Chair and members, that's my presentation of House File 100. It's been an issue I've felt passionate about for many years based on my experience on the school board and working in my community as a parent and a school board member. So with that, I'll listen to the next presentation and answer any questions that members may have.
Thank you, Representative Norton. Representative Kresha, 466, will you move your bill, please?
I will move my bill.
And Representative Kresha has Amendment 466A1. Do you wish to move that, Representative Kresha?
Thank you, Madam Chair. At this time, I do wish to move the amendment, the 466A1 amendment, to get the bill.
And members, this will put the amendment in the order that he wishes it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Representative Mariani, did you have a question?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'm sorry, I tried to jump in here pretty quick. First of all, I like these bills, and Representative Kresha, I like your amendment. However, I just want to inquire in terms of process. My understanding is that this amendment was not posted in time within the committee, so I'm just asking the question. I've been informed of that, and I just want to make sure that you know, we're following the process that the committee has laid out before it, and it's not an attempt to do harm to Representative Kresha's bill at all, because I do like the bill and amendment, but I do have that inquiry.
Thank you, Representative Mariani. My committee administrator tells me that she did forget to post it, but it was available on 1/30/15 from the reviser, so if you will indulge our forgiveness.
Madam Chair, and as you know, it's customary for us to obviously follow our process, but also in terms of conferring across the aisle, because these things do happen. And so I'm perfectly fine with this amendment, and I will certainly support it, and I would encourage us to go forward with that sort of waiver to the process at this point.
Thank you, Representative Mariani. And we will be much more attentive to the process from now on. I was not aware that it had not been posted, and I know Representative Kresha was planning on this. So will you proceed to explain your bill, Representative Kresha?
I will. And thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Chair Mariani, for the clarification. My bill is not nearly as controversial as Representative Norton's. Mine's really easy. I'm kidding. Actually, she gave a very good presentation, and she has many of the arguments that I would have made as well. The only difference between my bill and Representative Norton's, quite simply, is I believe yours allows any start date before,
yes,
September 1st. Mine boxes this in for 1 year, that you must start after September 1st. Between that week where September 1st on a Tuesday through that Friday of the 5th. The amendment takes out the Thursday-Friday so that you are allowed to use the whole week so that you could have a continuous school week so that you wouldn't just necessarily have 2 days. You could have a full four-day week. I understand the issue. I understand all the sides of this. I've had many of these conversations. And this is my attempt. Well, I am a firm believer in local control. I'm a firm believer that school should be able to make these decisions on their own. They have elected officials. I understand the compromise and the nature of what we're trying to accomplish for this one time. So I would just offer this bill up saying we use that week as a possibility for schools to take a little bit of pressure off for 1 year so that they don't have some of the pressures at the end of the year.
With that, we're going to move to the testimony from the audience before we hear questions from committee members. And we want to be finished with this bill by 15 of the hour. So if those who would like to testify in support would come forward, please, and keep your comments really brief. We've heard the good reasons that the authors have presented. So if you could just support those reasons. Welcome to the table. Please say your name for the record and begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Valerie Goslin, and I represent the Minnesota Association of School Administrators. Thanks for your time today. You know, Representative Norton and Representative Kreisha laid out all the very fine points why MASA supports this bill. I would just encourage you to, we would like to see the Labor Day start date repealed. Barring that, I think both Representative Norton's and Representative Kreisha's bills provide a good compromise. Again, just to reiterate, you know, MASA believes in local control. They believe that locally elected school boards and superintendents who are hired by those school boards know what's best for their school year calendar and what's best in the services and educational opportunities they provide their families. So again, just to reiterate, we support the bill, and if you have any questions, I'm always available to answer them. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Doslin. Welcome, and say your name for the record and begin.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members. My name is Snezhana Besanov, and I'm here on behalf of Minnesota School Boards Association. Since 1920, MSBA has played an active role in supporting, promoting, and enhancing the work of public school board members in public education. MSBA represents all of the locally elected school boards across the state. And we do want to thank Representative Norton and Representative Kreisha and many others who've authored similar legislation and co-authors as well who are in this room. House File 100 is in line with MSBA Delegate Assembly established position, which is supported across the board by all school districts. MSBA supports amending the Minnesota statute to allow Minnesota school board members to establish the annual student calendar, including beginning and end dates. As you've heard a little bit, in as far as the background, this legislation was initially enacted in 1985, which is about 30 years ago. The law was then relaxed in 1997 to accommodate years with later Labor Day. In 1998, pre-Labor Day starts was allowed as long as it was first day, it was September 1st or later. And again, in 2005, post-Labor Day mandate was enacted. Currently, Minnesota is one of the three states, including Michigan and Virginia, that have mandates to prevent Labor Day starting school before Labor Day. MSBA supports repealing this mandate because it's a matter of student achievement. The repeal of the mandate and restoring local decision-making allows districts greater flexibility in attempt to improve student achievement. Demands for student achievement continue to increase for school districts. And so districts should have the flexibility to determine how they want to meet state and federal standards and testing requirements. We believe that opportunities for students to learn are better in September than they are in middle of June. And more instructional days prior to state assessments will benefit students and school districts. As far as PSEO, districts need more flexibility to coordinate and share PSEO learning opportunities with post-secondary institutions. Minsky schools have start dates that are well before Labor Day. In fact, Minsky campuses have set start date for August 24 for this year, 2015. In terms of extracurricular activities, school districts begin them in the middle of August. So we have football, volleyball, and many other extracurriculars going on during that time. An estimated number of 90,000 senior high school students participate in fall extracurricular activities. Now, determining school start dates should be a local decision. Having the start date determined by the state severely limits calendar options for districts and their communities. The repeal gives elected school board members authority to make the decision after gathering input from their community that meets the needs of students, staff, and parents. What works in one community may not work in another. Many, if not all, school districts have a calendar committee which often includes a diversity of community members. Superintendents and board members would likely receive an earful of negative feedback from constituents if parents, students, and the community felt that they started school too early or did not include students' commitments to programs such as 4-H. Please note that the repeal of this mandate does not prevent any school districts from starting after Labor Day. This should be a local decision. So in summary, this proposal, specifically House File 100, allows school board members to determine best start date for their students to improve student achievement. Unforeseen school closures due to severe weather or other reasons would impact less student achievement. More instructional days prior to state assessments will benefit students in their school districts. And again, this does not prevent any school from starting after Labor Day. We believe that House File 100 is a compromise that that starts school districts are scheduled, they can't start school on Thursday or Friday before Labor Day. We believe it's a win-win-win for resort industry, Minnesota State Fair, and school districts. House File 100 is about trusting school board members with making the best choice for their students and their local community. Thank you, Madam Chairs and members of the committee, for your advocacy for Minnesota students.
Thank you, Ms. Bezanov. Are there others who support either 100 or 466? Then let's move to those with concerns, because I know some members will have questions. Are those present in the audience who have concerns, please come forward, introduce yourself, and state your reasons for your concerns. And members, I know that you have at your places a letter from the Farmers Union, Minnesota Farmers Union, Office of President Doug Peterson. Welcome to the committee. Please say your name for the record and proceed.
Madam Chair, my name is Tom Kavanaugh, and I'm owner of Kavanaugh's Sylvan Lake Resort. I also sit on the Board of Directors of Hospitality Minnesota and the Minnesota Resort and Campground Association. First off, thank you for allowing us to chat about this today. As I told you, I own a resort along with three of my brothers in the Brainerd Lakes area. If you're not familiar, the Brainerd Lakes area has a long history in the resort and tourism industry dating back to the 1890s. My family has owned our resort since 1969, and I can say that I literally have grown up in the resort and hospitality business. I would like to respond just to a couple of comments from Representative Norton, if I may. Number one, it is not a perceived economic loss for our industry. And secondly, while it is true that there are many, many students already participating in sports, obviously this bill would allow all students to go back to school. So instead of having 80,000 or 90,000 students involved, we would now have all the students back in school. So just a point there. So does starting school before labor to have an adverse effect on anything, or does it even matter? The answer, it does. The problem is that we've had a predictable school year embedded in Minnesota for over 100 years. We, in fact, have known what our season would be, which it is a very short season. And because of that, billions of dollars have been spent on resorts, golf courses, tourism-related industries, attractions, campgrounds, many, many things based on tourism. We do this all in about a roughly short 10-week season. That's the chance that we have to, have the majority of our business. And sadly, while it's been a 100-year tradition, it seems like about the 100th time that we've been down here debating this issue. We operate year-round at our resort, but 81% of our business actually comes between June 20th and Labor Day, especially since schools now very often go into June. So 81%. The only time that we get our listed brochure rates are actually from July 1st to Labor Day. In fact, many of the tourism-related businesses in our area and the businesses in general work off of that same short season. This is the time when the lakes are warm and the average temperatures stay in the high 70s or better. More importantly, while we're a year-round resort, the vast majority of resorts in Minnesota are actually seasonal. The campgrounds are also seasonal, meaning that they have to make their living in just 10 weeks. Taking away 10 to 15% of their season would be destructive, as any 10% or 15% loss to any business would be. Our industry generates revenue, generating taxes, not just for the state, but for the school districts as well. In fact, in our district alone, the three largest taxpayers are resorts. We are supportive of education. Hospitality Minnesota has its own education foundation. Between it and our three associations, we'll give out over $100,000 in scholarships this year. While we support a strong education in Minnesota, we also know that there is no evidence that starting school before Labor Day will in any way improve education. We believe that the legislature should focus its attention on proposals that will improve our children's education and shy away from proposals that jeopardize jobs and businesses. A post-Labor Day school start does not cost the state or any school district a penny, but it does have a dramatic, positive impact on the Minnesota economy. Whether it is the state fair, Minnesota resorts or campgrounds or all the businesses built on our short tourism season, starting school before Labor Day will cost revenue. Revenue that would have meant additional dollars for education and key social programs. If you don't believe me, listen to your public. A U of M tourism study shows that 75% of the people asked think that K through 12 should start after Labor Day. Many may think that this is just a resort or campground issue. It is not, and it is incorrect to assume that it only affects a small, non-metro population up north. We all pay our taxes. And all of these businesses are revenue producing. Many of them are family owned. Ladies and gentlemen of this committee, you as legislators often make public policy that benefit the entire state on a regional impact. We require ethanol in gasoline and soybean oil and diesel fuel statewide, not just where corn and soybeans are grown. The same is true regarding wind energy as part of our electric portfolio. We should follow the same statewide thinking about the impact on tourism and tourism-related communities with regard to Labor Day school start. Minnesota touts itself as a tourism state, and fact shows that it is, in fact, our third largest revenue producer at $13 billion. It employs 250,000 people, 11% of our workforce, produces $4.5 billion in wages and $840 million in state sales tax. That's 17%. If we are going to be a tourism state, if the very well-being of our state is going to depend on tourism, if schools are built, remodeled, and thrive because of the tourism dollar, then I think it's important to show support for tourism and support post-Labor Day school start statewide. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kavanaugh. Is there anyone else with concerns? Please come forward. Mr. Kavanaugh, be sure you don't go any place in case there are questions later. Welcome to the committee. Please say your name and begin your testimony.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jerry Hammer. I'm the general manager of the State Fair.
Please proceed.
In 1902, the school boards of Minneapolis and St. Paul issued this statement. There's more to be learned in a single day at the fair than in double the time at any school or college. And I say this for two reasons. One, it's still very much the case. Innovative education, come to the fair, spend all day, and you barely scratch the surface. Secondly, we are in the same business. That's what the fair does. We're all about educating on many different levels. What we found when school opened early is that we suffered severe negative effects. In my lifetime, the fairs operated at a loss three times, twice due to bad weather, once due to early school openings. We don't get any funding from the state. We don't want any. The last thing we want to do is come down here hat in hand for help for bailouts. I looked at the list of states that open, including Florida, that open early, and you should know that there are movements in all of those states to get school opening post-Labor Day again because of the economic effect it's had. In our case, when school opened early, I bumped into Representative Hausman one of the school days, and she said, "Where is everybody? What's wrong?" I said, well, school started, and she said, "You didn't realize it had that kind of effect." It does, and it's not as simple as, well, just come another day. I've heard that a few times. There's other days you can go. Yes, there are, but with schedules the way they are for most families now, that gets to be very difficult. We actually had the 4-H building shut down for 3 or 4 days in the middle of the fair because there just wasn't enough participation. And since we operate at capacity, there's no chance for those kids to make it up. So when a fair attendance suffers and our ability to do what we do, to educate on every level, from youngest kids to the oldest people, that too suffers and the fair diminishes. There are two fairs in particular that used to have exactly the same days we did. They moved their dates. It's not that simple either, as moving dates. Both of those fairs, one, the California State Fair, right now it went from 1.2 million in attendance to about 800,000. And they're in trouble. They're talking about selling the fairgrounds for a retail development. South Dakota State Fair ran right on top of our dates as well, and it worked great for us because we shared exhibitors, commercial exhibitors, educational exhibits, and entertainers routed. They moved their dates up, and right now they recently expanded. They're now, instead of a weekend event, they added a fifth day. So they greatly reduced what they were able to do. The Minnesota State Fair is one of the largest events in the world. It's because of a whole lot of hard work by a lot of people, but more importantly, because it's from a real sense of ownership by everyone in the state. They know this is where you go to learn, to get together, to be entertained. And if early school becomes the norm, then the fair will diminish. The economic impact of the fair, Mr. Kavanaugh articulated greatly, you know, very wide, on a very wide basis. In our case, we're just a piece of that. But in the Twin Cities alone, the fair's economic impact is $270 million. The earnings impact, household earnings, is over $60 million. And the fair also, I forgot, great work opportunity for young people. I had my first job at the fair. You know, and thousands of others can say exactly this. Tens of thousands of others can say the same thing. And you look at a school district like Minneapolis; it's opening early, and how many of those kids, especially in that district, would benefit from work experience? And they can't get it now. Opening when they do so, I'll say again: we are in the same business. We're all about educating, and for us to do what we do as well as we do, it can't happen when schools open early. And I thank you all very much for your attention. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Hammer. Representative Urso, did you have a question for Mr. Hammer or Mr. Kavanaugh?
No, it's just for one other.
Thank you. Finished. Are there any others with concern? Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Hammer. Any others with concerns? Then please, Representative Norton and Representative Crescia, would you return to the table? Representative Urso has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple of issues. Yes, thank you. First of all, in the states that I know where they have a much earlier school start, they also have a much earlier than finish of school. And one of my concerns is on tourism, because in Minnesota, a large fraction of our tourism areas are in the northern part of the state, you know, the kinds of places people go to resorts. And those lakes aren't warm enough in May. They're not warm enough in early June for families to take their vacations. Have either of you looked at the economic impact of, you know, what we would lose? We've heard some testimony from the resort owners, but what have studies shown would be the effect on our tourism industry?
Representative Norton.
I don't know that, Madam Chair and Representative Urso, I don't know that there have been studies per se on the specific question you've asked, but I do think it's worth noting that only 20% of families in most communities, and it varies across the state, actually have children in school. So there is still 80% of the population out there without children of school age that can go to these resorts. And so some of the comments that we hear assume that it's this 20% that won't be in the resorts, and if this 20% doesn't go, that the 80% will have more opportunity to go. So I think there's a confusion about that just if we pass school start, that no one would go to the resort during that time and there would be that large of economic impact. And I can also say that in looking in the history of the resort industry's growth, the number of resorts has diminished over the years fairly dramatically, actually, but the revenues continue to increase whether we have, you know, no matter what date school has started. So I don't think that's the issue. And that's the reason I use the term perceived, because I think when we hear the dollar impact, it is with the assumption that no one will fill those resort spots at that time, and I think that is a false assumption. There are 80% of the population who don't have children who could, and my second point was that Explore Minnesota and Only in Minnesota initiative is really trying to get people from outside of Minnesota to come into this state and spend money here. So there are plenty of other folks around, again, who might, including Wisconsin, who starts September 1st, who could come here and use our resorts and fill those spots. So I haven't seen a specific study to directly answer that question, but that's just some of the research I've done.
Representative yourself.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What percent of the families without kids have a teacher in the household?
It would be a fraction, Madam Chair, but I don't know the tiny fraction that would be.
I sincerely doubt.
Yourself.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sorry. I sincerely doubt that would be a tiny fraction of the remainder.
That don't have children.
And have. Another question. Thank you, Madam Chair. Have you discussed with the fair whether the not having school on the final Thursday and Friday would be sufficient to take care of the issues for the 4-H kids?
Representative Norton.
Madam Chair, I have not talked with the State Fair Board. This compromise, if you will, came up about 4 years ago as a solution to try to not be able to address 100% of the State Fair Board's concern, but that it was a compromise that gave them a 5-day long weekend for resorts and for the State Fair and would allow the 4-H kids to be able to participate. And in addition to that discussion, the school districts, superintendents, and school boards all stated that if a child participated in 4-H, that they would be allowed the time off to participate in the State Fair, that they didn't think that would be an obstruction to 4-H participation.
Representative Nornes.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I have, first of all, a question. It seems to me that North Dakota had an issue this past year where they were starting early and there was some effort to move that back. Can research or anyone confirm that they actually were able to do that? I think it was initiated by the public because they wanted this a later start date for school. No
Representative Nornes, I don't think that House research knows that answer.
Okay.
And I don't know if partisan research knows that
it
answer
probably
either, so we'll look into
pertain
it.
A lot to our discussion this morning, but I was just interested because they were going the other direction, moving back instead of moving forward on their start date. I don't have really a question, I guess, but one thing we haven't talked about is a lot of schools don't have air conditioning, so the later we start, I think it's healthier and better for learning for kids. That's just an observation. And I think the student employment part is important. And so we're going to deprive a lot of students from opportunity to work, whether it's at the State Fair or at a resort. And resorts depend on those young people to do a lot of the work. And they really, those that come to the resort then have either a lack of service or less service because those students aren't there. I had one resort, maybe several last summer, that were closed down for a couple of weeks because of weather. And, so you combine weather and its impact, and then we shorten up the season by what we're doing today. It's kind of a negative for those folks trying to make a living. So it's just a comment.
Representative Norton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate those comments, and I just want to remember remind people that it's not a mandate, that there's no guarantee that every school district will do that. In fact, I suspect that in northern Minnesota, where resorts are absolutely a part of their industry and livelihood, that they will continue to have a post-Labor Day start, and that their folks who work typically are from that area will continue to be employed. And so that same goes for air conditioning, Representative Nornes. If you live in a school district that does not have air conditioning, you may well choose to start late because of that very issue. So I agree with you. We wouldn't want to force folks to start early because of those very issues. But again, it's just opening the door, not a mandate.
Madam Chair.
Representative Crescia.
And thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Representative Nornes and Representative Russo. I too am sensitive to both sides of this issue, and I understand the arguments made by the state fair and the resort owners. I also understand from being in education and being in business that you rely on your experts, and you look to those that are closest to the issue, and we have educational leaders that are trying to do the very, very best they can for their communities and their schools, and they're the ones that we have asked to make these decisions. I also know from my 20 years of being in the schools and the business, things are changing. We are well connected, people are more mobile, and they will move during the school year as well as outside the school year. I have 5 children, and at any given time I've been through every learning opportunity and every learning stage from all the way down to a senior, and I can tell you that families make adjustments, those that can. Those that cannot, a lot of times they need to be in these school settings. The ones that cannot move, this is an opportunity for them. So I turn to our experts, I turn to those in the schools who are trying to make these decisions, and I look to them and I say, let's remove some of your barriers and allow you to make these decisions. As Representative Norton said, not everybody's going to make this decision. Things happen, construction comes, weather changes, but let's put this in the hands of our educational leaders and the folks that we're electing at our local levels, because they are the closest and they know this the best. I absolutely understand where the resort owners are at, and I understand where the state fair is at, but they're going to make their same decisions based on their expertise and their folks. I've run businesses as well. They will also adjust and find out ways to maximize their structures, because that's what we do. I used to run a company that we were all in cubicles, and then we found out it was easier to send everybody home because they were mobile. The same thing's happening across all of our areas of the generations and the population. So for what it's worth, that's why I've come to this decision.
Members, we have lots of visitors in the audience for the next bill. They've traveled a great distance, some of them from the Lake Superior area. So at this time, I'd like to make an executive decision that we House File 100 be placed. No. Oh. Okay. That House File 466 as amended be placed for a vote at a later time.
Madam Chair?
And that's just it. Yes. Because Representative Crescia has another bill up.
Are you laying that over just for the committee?
Yes.
So you want me to come back for the vote?
No. We'll vote on it perhaps Thursday or some other day in the future.
Very good.
After we've had some more discussion among our caucuses, okay? And House File 100, Representative Norton, I'm going to lay that over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill. So
thank you very much,
both of you. We're going to move members on to House File 197.
Madam Chair.
Representative Nornes.
I just wanted to clarify something that I brought up earlier. I went to my phone and I found out that North Dakota had an initiative, but it was defeated.
Okay, thank you.
So just found my own answer.
So, Representative Norton, was that to change the school start date?
That was the start after Labor Day.
And they put that on the ballot last November, and it was defeated. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. Representative Miller, House File 197. So, members, just a reminder among your caucuses to please discuss both 466 and 100, and I'll be visiting with Representative Mariani as well. I had hoped to move 466 to the floor, but we're not ready to do that, so we'll have further discussions, and that'll be available for a later vote, and Representative Norton's will be consideration in an omnibus bill, possibly. Representative Mariani.
I'm sorry, I just want to be helpful here. So technically, what we've done is lay the bill over, or we've just withdrawn the motion?
Oh, thank you. I guess, no, I didn't ever have a motion, did I? I don't think it was official. Crecia's?
Representative Crecia's bill.
Well, then, yes, I will have to withdraw the motion. Actually, he made the motion, so he's gone. But, we'll lay it on the table.
You can do that.
We'll lay it on the table.
All right.
Thank you. So House File 466 is laid on the table for further discussion. Welcome to the committee, Representative Miller. I will move House File 197 to be recommended for the General Register. Please say your name for the record, and I think that you also are going to talk about a treat you brought. Then we'll hear from your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Tim Miller. I'm from Princeburg, Minnesota. And the I am told that there's a tradition in the House that when someone presents their first bill before a committee, it's their responsibility to bring treats. So these are fresh cookies made by my daughter, Laura. She makes these each week for me. They are in my office. They are nonpartisan, non-issue. Non-issue driven cookies. All are welcome to come into my office. My only request is that when you come in and eat one of my daughter's cookies, that it, if you're not happy with me, it reduces the energy of that a little bit. Other than that, all are welcome. And they're becoming wildly popular, so I have a feeling I'm going to have my daughter be making more in the future. So please enjoy those, and I do apologize to those in the audience. I knew there was going to be a large population here, and I could not have made that many cookies. So if your representative is sitting around this table, I encourage them to
share.
So,
please proceed, Representative Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And Representative Miller, I will move House File 197, as I said earlier, to be placed on the General Register.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would like to thank the support of many of the people that have attended. Some of them will be coming down to testify in a bit, but I do want to recognize them. We have representatives from McCray School District, Ogilvy, Black Duck, and I believe possibly ACGC. If there are other school districts here, I'm not aware of it, but I want to thank them for coming as well.
Yes, from the far north, the Lake Superior region.
Yeah, there are some from Twin Harbor Center.
Yes.
Okay, so thank you also, because I know many of you have traveled a long way because this is important to you. I hope that I represent you well in this. Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to present this bill today. The purpose of this bill is to simply empower school district boards to determine flex scheduling instead of the Department of Education Commissioner, as it now is law. It goes without saying that everyone in this room, the Minnesota Department of Education, school staff, parents, administration, and yes, even students, want the best education possible for our children and young adults. We want to equip them with the tools necessary to compete in the global economy and become a benefit to their communities. I believe we all have a role in this, including state government. This bill is not meant to exclude the Minnesota Department of Education from important decisions regarding education in Minnesota. I think as state leaders, we can provide broad perspective on difficult issues and set achievement standards in education. I do believe the state and therefore the Minnesota Department of Education should determine what needs to be accomplished to achieve excellent education in a school year. How to accomplish it should be left for those who best understand their students, their teachers, and their community needs, the elected school board. As this relates to the bill before you, I believe the state, through the Minnesota Department of Education, should govern what time is deemed necessary to educate a child in a school year, and the school district should have the authority of how to implement these hours. At this time, you will be hearing from administration, teachers, and students from multiple school districts and how they have found a four-day flex schedule has worked for them and their desire to maintain that. There are others in the audience here to support them as well. The governor, the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Education, and I have received multiple emails in support of this. I have bipartisan support through Senator Coonan as he is carrying this through the Senate. I ask for your support at this time by voting yes for HF 197, and I will defer to you, Madam Chair, as to whether you want questions now or after testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Miller. So now, members, we will hear from those who have come the longest distance, so please, you know, come forward if you've come from Lake Superior or Black Duck first to testify in support of House File 197. And please listen carefully to the reasons that are stated, and then the next testifiers, please try to find other reasons for support of Representative Miller's 197. Welcome, sir. Please say your name for the record and begin. And if those who are standing behind, if you're going to speak soon, if you would take your places in the chairs that are available, that would facilitate all of the speakers I know that we have in support of this.
My name is Joshua Grover.
And Mr. Grover, you're the high school principal at Black Duck, is
I
that
am.
Correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Madam Chairperson, Representative Miller, I want to express my sincere gratitude and appreciation for this amazing opportunity. My name again is Joshua Grover. I'm the high school principal at Black Duck. More importantly, I'm a husband and father of three, two who attend Black Duck Elementary. Accompanied by our superintendent, students, the school board of education, and teachers, I'm here to speak to you about the advantages freedom has given us with regard to the education of students at Black Duck Public School. I'm here to tell you about our organization. A student of mine, Sierra, has handed out, and who else has handed out these packets for you? If you could, please turn with me. It's entitled Black Duck Public Schools, What Freedom Has Allowed Us to Do. There's a great deal of information included. The report begins with a demographic breakdown of our district. One of the things to take note in particular is that 22% of the Black Duck Public School students receive special education services. 138 students in a small rural area are on an individual education plan. According to the vast amount of education research, Black Duck is statistically set up to fail. However, high academic, social, and economic needs do not necessarily dictate failure. Black Duck is extremely successful. We consistently rank among the top schools in the state of Minnesota. We currently sit within the top 10% with regard to student achievement. As you can see, Black Duck maintains achievement scores at or above state levels in all areas. We have consistent graduation rates of 90% or higher, when the rest of the state sits at approximately 80%. In our region, and I apologize that it's a little hard to see, we're the third bar on the left-hand side on that page on the bottom. We maintain rankings among the highest. Finally, we consistently make the state requirements for proficiency with regard to AYP year after year. Why, when the odds are stacked against us, are we so successful? We have fantastic teachers, teachers who build strong, lasting relationships with students. We have parents who have a vested interest in the education of their children. We have an administration who have a consistent vision to maintain rigorous curriculum, a positive and healthy learning environment, and endless opportunities for students to be successful. Without the freedom that the four-day school week has given us, such opportunities would not be available. The four-day school week schedule has provided more student-teacher instruction minutes per week, contrary to what Governor Dayton has said. Help from teachers on Mondays for students in need of extra assistance, additional professional development opportunities, higher attendance rates both among students and teachers, a 37% reduction in student suspensions, a savings of over $100,000 per year, which we put back into adding teachers to reduce the student-per-teacher ratio. It also offers vocational opportunities for students on Mondays. We have also put in provisions for breakfast to every student who needs it. Finally, it's given us a general and deep community support and interest in the education of students at Black Duck Public Schools. Businesses have adjusted, parents have accommodated, and opportunities have become abundant. It has become a way of life for Black Duck, Minnesota. It is truly our culture. That brings us to why we're here. Black Duck Independent School District Number 32 must have the freedom to decide what's best for our students. Governor Dayton and Commissioner Casilius have made it very clear that they are not in support of the four-day school week, both in words and in action. Districts across the state have been categorically denied flexible scheduling status. As you can see by the end of this report, districts that are extremely successful in terms of student achievement have been revoked of their four-day status. Representatives from MDE cannot provide a reasonable explanation as to why. It is true that the 4-day is not the answer for every district. Many districts have fallen behind, not implemented it with fidelity, or did not have community support. But what happens if a school is successful? We may not be showing adequate growth in the eyes of MDE, but what happens when there isn't any room to grow? What happens when we've hit a critical mass for student achievement? I strongly believe all students can grow, but growth cannot be dictated by the state. Allowing local decision-making regarding what's best for the education of students just makes sense. Every county, every district, every town, and every school is different. I ask that you review what our students, our teachers, and our community believes is best for the students with regard to how many days they should attend school. Our students overwhelmingly see the four-day week as being the best for their education. Our teachers, the professional educators, the scholars, and practitioners of education know it's best for our students. Most importantly, a sample survey given out to the community members is behind the 4-day, with over 80% of those surveyed supporting the idea that 4-day week is the best for our kids. I'm here as a professional leader, as a teacher, and most importantly as a father, to ask you to please endorse this bill so that we can make the choice for what we know is best for our students and our children, and not let these decisions be governed by what the state thinks is best. As stated by the vision of the Minnesota Department of Education, we must use innovative strategies to improve educational outcomes. 6 years ago, we were innovative and continue to do so. So why are we trying to fix something that's not broken? Madam Chairperson, representatives, I thank you for your time and this opportunity to speak to you.
Thank you, Mr. Grover. Is there a student to speak next, or a teacher? Student, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Madam Chairperson, Representative Miller, first off, I want to thank you for letting me speak to you today. My name is Ellie Cleveland, and I am a sophomore at Black Lake High School. I was a fifth grader when we began this 4-day week. Therefore, I have attended Black Duck both in the 4-day and 5-day week schedules. Prior to the 4-day week, we struggled to keep low class sizes, extra programs available, and had elementary classroom teachers teaching our FIAG classes. Thanks to this 4-day week, we have recovered from those impacts of our budget issues and continue to grow as a school and as a community. I have never felt that this 4-day week has held me back as a student. If anything, this unique schedule has given me opportunities I wouldn't have received otherwise. I have maintained an A average every year while also participating in 7 of the many activities Black Duck has to offer. The extra contact time with my teachers has allowed me to succeed in ways no other school could. I rarely miss school because of appointments, thanks to that extra day on the weekend. Since I participate in so many activities, the weekends often get filled with tournaments and fundraising events. The 3-day weekend has given me time to stay involved while still getting time to get my schoolwork done and even come in and get extra help from teachers if it is needed. Madam Chairperson and Representative Miller, I thank you for taking the time to listen to me today. And as you embark on this decision, I hope you will take into account the overwhelming amount of positive outcomes we have received from our innovative scheduling.
Thank you, Ms. Cleveland. Please say your name and proceed.
My name is Leslie Frosacker, and thank you, Madam Chairperson and Representatives, for this time. I am a third grade teacher at Black Duck Elementary School, and I have an unusual background. I was a CPA first and then went back to school to just get my elementary education license because I'm so passionate about teaching. As you can imagine, I'm a numbers person, so I love facts and details. And I think what's impressed me most about the switch that we made to the 4-day week is our numbers. They really speak for themselves. First, we have our test scores. We have been using the 4-day model now for 6 years, and our students are excelling. When I started teaching 7 years ago in Black Duck, we were using the 5-day model, and we had the highest test scores of any district in our area. Over the past 6 years, we have continued to keep that position. We have families driving their children at great distances just to be part of our district. Second of all, we have overwhelming support from our community. You've already heard our high school principal, Joshua Grover, discuss the community support that's shown by our survey results, but I want to convey the passion and the zeal that so many of our community members feel. At conferences, I ask my parents, how are you liking the 4-day week? Now, many of them say, we don't just like it, we love it. It has given their families more flexibility, allowed them to spend more time as a family on Sundays together, provided their children with time on Mondays to complete longer projects and homework, allowed students to excel in their schoolwork by giving them greater access to their teachers. I remember when we looked at adopting the four-day week, we sent some of our teachers and school board members down to the McRae School District to interview them. This group had some car trouble along the way, and they ended up at a service station, and they asked the people in that community, what do you think of this four-day model? And what they were so surprised at was just the enthusiasm by these strangers and the way the community felt about this model. Well, the same thing has happened in Black Duck. The vast majority of our community is very much in favor because they know it's working. Third, we have the financial numbers to back our model. We've reduced the cost of our school district by roughly $150,000 each year. For the past 6 years, that's almost $1 million. And finally, we have the numbers that prove we have more time with our students. We now have more contact minutes with our students than we had under the five-day model. We have two programs that provide students with additional help. One's a Title I program that we hold on Mondays, and another is a program we hold on Wednesday and Thursdays called Targeted Services. Our teachers feel more prepared for the week by having Mondays to confer, to grade, and to prepare for the upcoming week. And many of the teachers feel that they work longer hours, actually, under the four-day model, but they see that this system benefits our students, and it's definitely worth it. Great education comes when teachers and administrators are willing to do whatever it takes to help students to succeed. 6 years ago, our district took a chance, and it has paid off with huge dividends. No two schools are alike, and you can't use a cookie cutter in education. If it's working for our district, we ask you to look at our numbers and allow us the flexibility to just continue to provide the best education and the best model for our students. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. And another student, perhaps?
No,
teacher.
Yeah.
Thank you. Madam Introduce Chair- yourself.
Madam Chairperson and members of the committee, my name is Deborah Sandvig, and I am in my eighth year of teaching in Black Duck. I'm going to just be very brief because I know there's other people here today that would like to present to you. But the one thing that I can get across that's so important is that the four-day week is working for us in Black Duck. And if the Minnesota Department of Education comes and says to us when we apply that we're not going to be allowed to do this next year, I guess my question that I would have for the Minnesota Department of Education is, why are they trying to fix a system or change a system that is working wonderful for our students? I am with these kids every day. I see their successes. Please allow us the opportunity to continue to educate these children in the best way that we know how. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And you were Ms. Sandvig, right?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. McRae, is it next?
Bill Crandall from Lake Superior School.
Thank you very much. Yes, yeah. From Lake Superior traveling so far.
You'll be getting some information.
Please say your name again for the record.
William Crandall, Lake Superior School District. Most of the comments that have been mentioned today already this morning are very similar to a handout that I presented here, so I'm not going to repeat much of that. But there's a handout, and you'll see a map of our school district. And what I want to point out is the uniqueness of our school district that's operating under a four-day week. Lake Superior School District is larger than the state of Rhode Island, pretty close to two times the size. And we have students who get on the bus just before 6 o'clock and get to school at 7:45. So they're on the bus total 3.5 hours every day. And we have a majority, then there's another large group that are over 3 hours a day on the bus. By giving them that one day, that's 3.5 hours back to their lives, lives with their families, and other activities that they can participate in. That's one of the unique pieces that I wanted to share for our school district that's on a four-day week. I know that the War Road School District with the Northwest Angle also has some of those similar issues with transportation and students getting on their buses very early and long routes. And so I wanted to share that component. Other pieces, just I'm going to be very brief. We talked about resorts earlier with the early start. Northern Minnesota, we have many resorts, and with the four-day week, we are allowing our students to now be out and working in the community. Majority of our older, the high school students are working in our resorts that are along the North Shore. Another piece we talk about that we've heard is information coming back at us saying, well, that's not how society operates, working on a four-day week. Largest employer in our county, which is North Shore Mining, works off of a shift-based operations. That's a four-day week. and that's what our students are working with as well. It also allows one of the anecdotal reports, and I have it in my comments, unfortunately today in society a lot of separated families. And our district is no different than any other district, and so we have parents that live in other parts of the state or in other states. The four-day week has also allowed much more time for families to spend, for our children to spend with their other parent. And nutrition is also one of the areas that both the state and I know MDE has been concerned about. And in our district, we started a backpack program. And so every Thursday, we have Fridays off, so every Thursday, the students, we have around 36% of free reduced lunch. And so all those students receive in their lockers food for the weekend. And so they have food for obviously for Friday, and it helps out through the weekend that our community sponsors and supports the four-day week. So I wanted to share those pieces that are a little bit unique to our district. As I mentioned, many of the comments made by both the students, teachers, administrators, and that you'll continue to hear are very similar to what is taking place in Lake Superior School District. So,
thank you, Mr.
Council Member. And
yes, thank you, Mr. Grandel. That was very interesting. And for you to note that business and industry has also moved to a four-day week helps your cause as well. McCray, I think you're up next. Please introduce yourself and begin. Welcome.
We're from the McCray School District, and Laura Hauser will start out. She's a student there.
Thank you. Please say your name again for the record and begin.
Laura Hauser. Madam Chair, members of the committee. My unique aspect that I'm going to be offering to you guys today is I'm a PSEO student. I'm a senior at McCray High School and a PSEO student at Bridgewater College in Wilmer. I have heavy-weighted classes on Monday, and they always say for every 1 hour that you're in a college class, you need 2 hours outside of class. So I go home, and I use my Mondays to study, whereas I'm not rushing back to school and trying to catch up on my high school classes. I'm also very involved in my school. I'm a member of 4-H, FFA, BPA, NHS, drama. So I'm always going constantly. And having that Monday is all like a very nice time to relax for me and also get other things done. We have sports practices and musical. I also do meetings. For example, last night I was at an FFA meeting. Also clubs, such as FFA, we meet and do things such as our SAEs, which stands for Supervised Agricultural Experience. We did a corn drive where we went out and talked to the local farmers about donating corn, and all of our profits went to Camp Courage. Also, when we go down to state FFA to compete, it's a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whereas if our Mondays are off, we are only missing 1 day of school. And we come from a very large farming community, and the farm kids get to stay home and work that extra day on Monday, and they're not being like pulled out of school or anything like that. So I just want to say that for me, the four-day school week has been very beneficial, and I would really hate to see it go away.
Thank you, Ms. Hauser. Next.
My name is, Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Tia Johnson, and Laura, would you please set this photo up? This is a photo of my family I wanted to show you. My daughter, Elizabeth, is a first grader at McCray, and my husband is a teacher there. So this is a uniquely affects us because my husband is a teacher. We are also part of the free and reduced lunch program, so if that makes any difference to anybody. And I am expecting another baby any day, but this issue is that important to me. I was willing to have the baby in the Capitol bathroom if I had to. I just wanted to show my support, yeah. No, we aren't planning on that, but it is that important to our family, and it's important to several families. We have a huge percentage of families that really like the four-day week. And what I was thinking of, if I could sum it all up, would be that the four-day week gives us more. It gives us more time with our families. It gives us more ability to prepare for the school week, both for my husband and for my daughter, and it also gives us more opportunity for enrichment. My daughter takes private violin lessons on those Mondays off. she also, and this is probably the most precious part of this year, is that because she has Mondays off, she's been able to attend our OB, my OB appointments, and hear the baby's heartbeat, see the baby on the ultrasound. That would not have happened on a five-day week. I am so thankful that she has been able to do that. My husband, as I said, is a teacher. He's the agricultural instructor in the high school, and he uses almost every Monday off, he uses part of the day to prepare for school. So case in point, yesterday, he went to school in the morning, set up an incubator to get ready to hatch eggs for one of his classes, and then at night he returned, spent at least 3 hours with students getting them ready for proficiencies for FFA. He also worked with them. They were in the shop doing welding and getting ready for egg mechanics, things that they're doing with FFA. And, I mean, would that happen on a regular school night? No way. There's just so many opportunities that have happened because of the four-day week. I also look forward to, in the future, my kids having that Monday off, if it is still allowed, so that they can job shadow their Uncle Terry, who works with computers, or their Aunt Janice, who is a nurse, and be able to leave high school with a little bit more of a perspective of what they want to do with their lives versus, you know, there's so many college students now that are almost forever students. They're constantly changing majors. I just see so much more opportunity as our family grows and how that four-day week could bless us. So I'm just begging you, begging you to show your support for this.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. And our final testifier? Whichever.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Melissa Sparks, and I'm the school counselor and a parent of three children. I can't say enough about the four-day week as well. You've heard a lot of great testimony today. One of the things I'd like to maybe draw your attention to is I really think we have a lot of integrity to our school day. We do have longer class periods, and that allows our teachers, especially at the high school level, to cover a lot more material, and our teachers are grateful for that. In fact, we do exceed the state required minimum by 29%. Another thing, too, is we live in a very rural area, and we have bad weather. We've been very blessed this year, but on the occasional days when we run a two-hour late start, which this year has been occasional, some years it's common, with our longer school day, we are able to cover all eight periods so no classes are missed, and I think that's important. We have better student attendance. As Laura has mentioned to you, our orthodontist office in Wilmer calls it McCray Mondays. It's pretty much filled with McCray students. And you know what? We don't have a lot of, you know, there isn't a doctor in town. And so, you know, the nearest doctor is a 25-minute drive. And so by able to get your appointments in on Mondays is a time saver for students and keeps them in our school. We schedule our snow days, and we get snow days. We schedule those to be made up on Mondays in April and May rather than tacking those on to the end of the year in June. So we believe that our snow days are educational, the way we've done it. We do it the same way with prom. Years ago on the five-day school week, we would try to at least keep the prom goers in school until 12:30, 1 o'clock. But as teachers, our staff would feel that wasn't a very educationally filled day. Now we have school on Mondays on the week of prom and give them that Friday of prom off. So again, I feel in that way we've gained an educational day.
So Ms. Sparks, how long are your class periods like at the high school? Are they comparable to a tri-semester length of day?
They're 55.
Do you have blocks?
No, we have eight periods and they're 55 minutes each.
55, thank you.
I think also, you know, our Monday, this was the longer day. A lot of us parents didn't realize, but it really, the longer we kept our students in school, the more it aligned with parent work schedules. So parents were finding that by the time their school day or their work day was over, so was school. And so that was a plus for a lot of parents. I think we find a lot of enrichment on Mondays. You know, we're a little school, and so we need our students to be athletes, musicians, actors, and club members. They need to be in everything in order for us to float all these programs. And Mondays allow that flexibility, that additional day, gives that to that you can be in the play, and you can still get to basketball practice, and you can do multiple activities. It also gives parents time to participate in private activities like Tia mentioned, in dance and music lessons and that kind of thing. which is very important. If you didn't have that Monday with the travel involved to get to those private lessons, that might be something that parents would have to give up, and that's an important enrichment activity for our students. Mondays can also be used to perform service learning. We have an 80-hour service learning graduation requirement in our district, so Mondays affords them an opportunity to take care of that. And as Tia and Laura mentioned, of course, there's employment opportunities, time for career exploration, and those types of activities on Mondays. So I think it's important for you to realize the value of Mondays in our district, and that they are for educational and enrichment purposes, and that we have a lot of integrity in our school day. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sparks. Superintendent, would you like to make a closing remark? To add anything new? Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Brian Kuslowski, Superintendent of McCrae Public Schools, and Madam Chair and committee members, thank you for this opportunity to spend some time with you this morning. And I'm so proud of all of our districts that are being able to share with you our passion for continuing. You know, as far as elected officials, you know, that you serve as local school board members that have been elected, each have a responsibility to our communities to educate and care for our children to the best of our abilities. As the entity legally charged with governing a school district, each school board is responsible to its community to govern efficiently and effectively. Locally elected boards of education are the backbone of public schools. This community ownership safeguards transparency, accountability, and equity and excellence in education for every child. Control of public education should be kept close to the community, where the local school boards are accessible to the people, and the voice of the people are directly accountable to their communities. Each of our communities across this great state are unique in their demographics, but the one constant that remains the same is our passion in what we do what's best for kids. Our community is vast, with overwhelming support to have local control for our school boards as they represent each of our districts with pride. With local control, districts will continue to meet the requirements for testing, graduation, meeting the needs of the state and nation through World's Best Workforce. Our district constituents ask to be able to continue with what has become a way of life for educating our children. Rest assured that local school boards hold their administration and faculty to high standards in pursuit of excellence. McCrae Public Schools is currently in its seventh year operating in a four-day week. It is true that what once was initially implemented as a money-saving experiment has become so much more. It has become a true way of life. As we have looked at the data in support of our continuance, we hope that all of you will look hard at the evidence in support of local control. Madam Chair and committee members, thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Superintendent, and thank you, McCrae. And I think we have Ogilvy next. Welcome to the committee. Please say your name for the record and begin.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee members. I'm very appreciative of everything that's happened here so far. I've been rewriting my spiel to you as this has been going on. You people have made this a lot shorter for me. Thank you very much. But I do want to...
Please say your name for the record.
I'm Jeff DeYoung. I'm the board chair at the Ogilvy District.
Please proceed.
Thank you. I just want to share with you what a beautiful example we have here of why there is supposed to be and why there should be local control of school districts. This four-day week, I am a tremendous supporter of it. It is desperately needed in Ogilvy. We love it. We like it. But it's the process of how we're getting here that is demonstrating the way our government is actually supposed to be set up. We received a letter a while back, as I believe most of us have, from the commissioner stating she wants us to return to a five-day school week. Every single reason that she gave us for going back to a five-day school week was based on erroneous assumptions from her limited amount of information she had. I don't mean to make such a harsh statement about our commissioner. I'm giving you the sugar-coated version today. We have been a little wound up about this. Every single reason that she wants us to return, she is wrong about. Okay, she does not believe that we have financial issues in Ogilvie. She's dead wrong about that one. We have more reason for sticking with a four-day week now than when we initially started this. The educational benefits, just insert McCray and Black Duck here. You've just taken care of most everything. The putting this together to try and explain this to you guys has forced me into setting them down side by side. I never before was one to try and prove to you that the four-day week is better than the five-day week. You forced me into listing them out side by side. The four-day school week is a better educational facility, the way we are running it in Ogilvie, than a five-day. There's advantages coming out of our years with the four. With the five-day, you've only got a couple. It is working extremely well for us. You know, I'd like to lay this all out. They've already done it. I won't do that. You know, your more hours of contact, your money saving, staff development, all these things. The one that hasn't been mentioned yet, though, that I want to make sure that you all are aware of is how much we appreciate a more consistent schedule for our students. What we have discovered looking at this is that half of our four-day school week is taken care of by holidays and staff development days. Put another way, in very general terms, all school districts in the state have a four-day school week or less for at least half a year. Mm-hmm. We all had a four-day week a couple weeks ago, Martin Luther King's birthday. We've got one coming up for President's Day. You add in all the holidays, you add in staff development time when you're running a very good staff development program, which we are. Half of the four-day school week is taken up just by those things alone. You know, this is how all these numbers end up working. I am not an accountant, but I'm a farmer. I really am a numbers man. I love getting into this stuff in depthly. The biggest thing I did was I ensured that the handout that Superintendent Belsheim, I believe, has already provided you with, I made sure that my personal cell phone number is there. If you're pondering this, questioning this, thinking that I'm absolutely out of my mind, you know, I more than welcome you. Please call me. I won't have to research a lot of this information. Just call me. I've got it in my head. I know this stuff. I'll lay it out there for you. I would love to explain everything that I'm stating in very, very lengthy, long-winded detail, because that's the way I am. You know, so with everything that's been said already, I'll close real quickly here by letting you know that the Minnesota School Board Administration spends a great deal of time training its board members to not micromanage your schools. I have personally witnessed the damage that can be done to school districts when you micromanage. You're getting into things that you just don't know about. Our job on the board is to put good people in the places where they need to be and let them do their jobs. Okay. My request to MDE is that you have good people in the places they need to be. I know you do in Ogilvie. I can overwhelmingly hear you have in all the other districts that are here presenting. Good people are where they need to be. Please don't damage our schools by micromanaging us. We know what we're doing. Let us do our jobs. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. DeYoung. And from some students, I believe, from Ogilvie, please introduce yourself and begin.
Hello. My name is Jesse Lee. I'm a senior at Ogilvie High School. I'm also a student board member. I believe the four-day school week is very beneficial to Ogilvie School District. I think that it should be kept for many reasons. Having the Monday off allows us to schedule doctor appointments, dental or orthodontist appointments, even behind-the-wheel courses and driving test exams. It also gives students an extra day to work, volunteer, and take advantage of job shadowing opportunities for our future careers. The four-day week allows sports teams to get in a longer practice than we would normally have on the four-day week. During that longer practice, we have time for team-building activities that will benefit us in our games. Another great thing about the four-day week is that it gives us more time to spend with our families and more opportunities to help with household activities. with the four-day school week, we have an extra hour. So instead of going 8 to 3, we go 8 to 4. With that extra hour, we have more time with our teachers, which is great because it allows us to have more questions and get help with our assignments. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lee. And next.
Hello, I'm Jared Torgerson, and I would like to thank you all for letting me speak with you today. I'm a junior at Ogilvie High School, and I've been in Ogilvie for my entire educational career. And as I've gotten older, I've gotten busier. I'm extremely active in the school, and I also have a 4.0 GPA. And so I truly feel that the four-day school week that we have is one of the best things that has ever happened to this school. I'm learning more and more every day, and I always have time to ask questions and get my work done in class, rather than having to bring it home because we have an extra hour. It's hard sometimes when you have shorter classes to be able to get the one-on-one time with teachers that you want. For example, we have ITV classes in our school, and I take a foreign language. They have shorter classes because they're in a different school district, and because they're in a different school district, it's only 15 minutes long, and they also start later than our school does. And so classes seem rushed. I don't have as much time for that one-on-one time to ask questions, to be able to get the things that I want to get done in that day of class. And so normally in that class, I have homework, which makes it more difficult because I'm very active, and that's what I spend my Mondays doing, is homework that I don't finish. Having Mondays off is great for many of my appointments, which has increased as I've gotten older. I have more time to do the things that I want to do and I need to do without missing school and my classes. And it's great for my education, because then I won't be missing school. I'll be in school as much as possible, and I won't have to worry about missing class and making up work. It's really hard for me to find a negative from this four-day school week, honestly. And I hope you all take what we're saying personally, because this is what's important to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ferguson. And do we have another student?
Oops. Madam Chair and committee members, hi, I'm Becky Sanborn. I am a parent of three children at Ogilvie Public School, a second grader, a fifth grader, and a sixth grader. I also work for the district as the technology coordinator. This is my seventh year in that position. With this being our sixth year on a four-day schedule, I have consistently heard more positive comments about this schedule than negative. If it truly wasn't working, we wouldn't be on our sixth year. Four-day school weeks are not a new and unique concept. The schools in Minnesota using a four-day schedule are not alone. Currently, according to the National Conference of State Legislatures, 21 states in America have schools on this schedule. Also, according to a research paper completed just in 2012 by the Andrew Young School of Policy Studies at Georgia State University, South Dakota schools first implemented four-day weeks in the 1930s. And according to the Education Northwest organization, over one-third of Colorado schools are now using this structure. I don't believe our country would have this educational institution history and continuation of this type of weekly structure if it wasn't effective and beneficial. I have recently taken time to listen to several people about how they feel about four-day weeks. I have a nephew who lives in Montana. It just so happens that he attends second grade at Centerville, which is located just outside of Great Falls, and his school is on a four-day week schedule. The school has a good reputation, and my nephew is doing just fine academically. Closer to home, one Ogilvie parent told me that the evening activity time for our wrestling group allows for her child to participate. If the school day ended earlier, the activity would probably start earlier, and her family would not have time to get home from work and prepare for the activity. Another parent who open enrolls her children at her school told me that she drives 23 miles one way. A change to a five-day week would definitely impact their family in a negative way by having to make that drive on an additional day each week, maybe even more than once, since they also participate in after-school activities. Both parent work schedules are also based on our four-day structure. They are very happy with Ogilvie schools, but this change could force them to leave our district. I know of other open-enrolled families who want their children at Ogilvie and are willing to make the drive because of the four-day week. In addition, just this last weekend, I was visiting with four other moms of Ogilvie students. I decided to ask for their opinions about four-day versus five-day weeks. Three moms said they are in favor of four-day weeks, and one mom said she was fine either way. They mentioned all the same benefits that I have seen claimed by other four-day schools. print in articles, and elsewhere. You can read the information out there or even Google it. But for me to compile it best, I can just say that this is our way of life. My husband and I, too, have work schedules around our daughter's 4-day-week schedule. We, too, revolve around this 4-day-week schedule within all its benefits, and any shortfalls to a picture-perfect scheduled day are dealt with like anything else. My 10-year-old fifth-grader daughter has never experienced a 5-day-week schedule, and this is what she wanted you to know. Dear committee, I am Cecilia Sanborn, a fifth grader, and I have never, ever had a 5-day school week. At Ogilvy School, everybody is doing great. There are about 8 students in my math class who are on a program called Odysseyware. Odysseyware allows us to go ahead of the rest of the class. I think we should stay on a 4-day school week because we have more school time, we are doing fine now, and because we are used to a 4-day week. If we do change to a 5-day, I think the week will get too long and the kids will have worse behavior. Also, my friends and I think a longer day, school day, is way better than shorter days with an extra day. Ogilvy is a small school and is able to save money on a 4-day week. I have talked to many students at my school, and all except one student told me they wanted to stay on a 4-day schedule. I know this because I am on the student council for the middle level grades. Cecilia Sanborn. The majority of 4-day-week schools are small rural school districts, many serving less than 1,000 students. What is best for these school districts is known by the community, parents, staff, and students being served. Life in a small town is not the same as urban areas. Therefore, the education system needs to coincide to what is best for its own area, even if it is different than other areas. This is a decision best made by those living among the people in that area. For any negative aspects of 4-day weeks, there are solutions to correct them, of which we have in place at Ogilvy. As far as student performance, there are not any conclusive studies showing a definitive drop in scores due to a 4-day week schedule. I have reviewed our district's test score charts, and I believe Ogilvy is doing great. Any issues causing students not to excel are not the result of a 4-day versus 5-day week. They will exist in every environment, and other factors in that child's life are what determine his or her success. There just isn't a legitimate reason for Ogilvy School District to switch back to a 5-day week, not to mention the stress and wasteful work time that would be put on all the families and staff as a result of such a change. Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee, for your time.
Thank you, Mrs. Sanborn, for your extra research that you did. That was very good. Superintendent Belsheim, you get the final word, and then we're going to hear from those with concerns.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I am Kathy Belsheim, Superintendent of Ogilvy Public Schools, and I thank you for this opportunity to share our 4-day school week structure passion with you. Second grade teacher Jen Drost was not able to be out of her classroom today, so I'm representing her, sharing this testimony with you. There are a lot of benefits to having a 4-day week in our Ogilvy School District, says Jen Drost. Number one, the longer days allow for teachers to schedule longer blocks of time dedicated to teaching math and reading. Currently, with the longer days, I am able to devote 3 hours per day to teaching language arts to my students, 1 hour for science, and 2 hours to math. These longer chunks of time allow for the in-depth, hands-on lessons as well as differentiation. Secondly, our district offers a very successful free Monday school option for our most struggling students. These students come 2 Mondays each month from 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock. This program offers an academic focus in the morning and social activities in the afternoon, which include the use of our pool and gym. This program is run by 3 highly qualified, recently retired teachers who are familiar with the students and their individual academic and social needs. The goal of this program is to improve student achievement with our students at poverty level while narrowing the achievement gap. Students are offered free breakfast, lunch, and a bag supper those days. Third, a staff day is scheduled 1 Monday per month. On these Mondays, the full day is devoted to teacher professional learning communities and data reflection. The full day is vital because teachers are given the time they need to look at student data, evaluate student growth, and to adapt instruction accordingly. Fourth,
There is no data to support that the four-day school week has had any negative academic effect on our students. If anything, the four-day school week has saved our district, in particular, $50,000 to $75,000 per year. This savings enables Ogilvy to offer more academic as well as extracurricular options to our students. And fifth, Ogilvy students have had an increase in attendance since the four-day week structure. With our non-school Mondays, our students and staff have been able to schedule appointments on Mondays rather than during school hours. Many of the surrounding businesses have adapted their hours by remaining open for a longer period of time on Mondays in order to accommodate these extra Monday appointments. At a time when school districts have to fight for every dollar in order to run a successful school in which we can offer the best educational experience to our students within the parameters of strictly dictated rules and regulations, shouldn't there be some opportunity for the school board to make the best decisions for what works best for our small community? Since our school is still making adequate yearly progress, shouldn't our district have local control over the four-day versus the five-day school week structure? And here are my comments concluding. One thing that you'll notice with our handouts that has not been mentioned by the other schools is that Ogilvy School District, it has an approved child and adult care food program, CACFP. And what that means is we're able to offer those free meals for our students when they come in for Mondays. But even bigger than that, we offer free meals to all of our students. Any student or any person age 0 to 18 years of age can come into Ogilvy Schools from the time school is ending in June until we begin again in August. And they have free breakfast, free lunch, and it is because of our approved status with this program that is run through USDA and then, of course, funneled down through our state. So I wanted to mention that. We do have the 95% satisfaction rate with our parents of having a four-day school week structure. And our attendance, as has been issued or has been mentioned by others, our attendance has been at 95% all the way from the beginning of our four-day school week structure. We are in our sixth year as a four-day week school. So in conclusion, please support our request to continue with this successful, flexible educational structure in Ogilvy. It works for our local rural community. Please allow our school board the authority of local control, determining what's best for our students and their families and our staff. Accepting the immense responsibility to provide each individual student in our district with the best possible education, we would be the first to disband our four-day school week structure if our student academic progress doesn't continue to improve. Thank you very much, Madam Chair and Committee, for hearing our testimony today.
Thank you, Superintendent Belshine. Representative Erdahl, you have a comment about one of your school districts that's also on a four-day week.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And I represent Atwater Cosmos Grove City. That's the school district that I live in, which on the science proficiency chart we have been given by the Black Duck folks, thank you. ACGC is rated number one. Thank you. I visited the school again last Friday, and just want to emphasize real quickly that ACGC has gone from a failing school to a reward school of excellence over this time period. They've been brought to Washington and been given an award there. They use their Mondays. They have enrichment classes that day. They have staff development. They do remedial work that day. And so it's a very successful program, as you have all indicated today, and as I can attest to from the district that I live in and that I represent. I did have a bit of a conversation with Governor Dayton about this last week, and urged him to be flexible and in those areas where this is working to allow it to continue to work. And just as a final aside, in terms of not just academic excellence, but the ACGC boys basketball team made the state tournament last year. So.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl. That was very good. With those with concerns, please come forward. And members, I will be changing the motion, so I will be placing this on the table so we can have further discussion in the future. Thank you, everyone who's come. Those with concerns, please come forward. Seeing no one with concerns, my goodness, I think we might have some. Representative Miller, would you return to the table? Representative Mariani, do you have a question that you could ask now that might be relevant to anyone in the audience?
Before we lose all these folks,
you know, do you have a question for a specific district or?
Well, Madam Chair, I'm hoping that we'll have a conversation with the department at some point with good time, and I think you've made a wise decision to make sure we have that. I have to say I learned quite a bit today, and I'm quite impressed by some of the things that I've learned. I continue to have some concerns. I looked at some of the data that they're in the sheets, the reading proficiency scores, and I know that that's not unique to these districts. But on the face of it, there is an argument that there is academic issues here. Whether we can discern that they're solely attributed to the four-day week is a fair debate, but nonetheless, it should be discussed. And I think that further kind of discussion with committee members might produce something here that isn't quite the what I would consider a blanket bill here. That takes away the kind of authority that I think we want to make sure that we'll continue to exhibit in terms of maintaining, you know, high expectations of all of these schools. But it's less a question than, I mean, if any question, I guess it would be very quickly an ability to explain very briefly what's up with the reading scores. You know, what happened? Huge drop in reading scores across a couple of the districts. Shared and then some growing back up, but not back to the levels that we were before. I think that's probably a question that should be hanging over all committee members as they go forward with this bill. And so maybe, Madam Chair, just a brief comment from testifiers about that.
And I believe we have the superintendent from McCray to respond.
Black Duck.
Yep. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yes.
Please
say your name again.
Joshua
for the record.
Broder, 2012. And that's where you're going to notice a trend that we're downward. That is a statewide trend. That is not unique to anyone in the state. That is a result of the change from NCA 2 to 3. When the questions changed, question styles changed, everything on the NCA standardized testing changed.
And we have someone else to comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. I just wanted to make a quick comment on
those tests. Please say your name for the record again.
Oh, I'm sorry, Deborah Sandvig. I'm from Black Duck. I'm a high school science teacher. I work directly with the high school English teachers every day. The Minnesota Department of Education, before they took those tests back in 2010, were prepared for the fact across the state that those test scores were going to go down because the tests had changed so much. One thing I can say for in Black Duck especially is, yes, the overall state averages did go down, but Black Duck stayed above the average even then, despite what the rest of the state was doing. And I think that with some of the other schools that you'll see in the data there, they also stayed above the state average. That was in no control of the states or the four-day week whatsoever. That was within the State Department and the change into the online testing. So,
thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yeah, Representative Mariani.
Just a quick follow-up. For either one, is it reasonable in your mind, and I'm not going to hold you firmly to this, but is it reasonable in your mind that relative to this decision, the ongoing decision about 4 day or 5 day, that the state should be taking constant consideration of trends in terms of academic proficiency trends with your students? Or should we just simply trust locals to make whatever decision regardless of having the state vetting through what those trends might be?
You know, I firmly believe that the state should keep, I mean, it's their obligation to see how well we're performing.
And this is Mr. Grover, Principal
Black Duck High School. I think it was stated before, we do have a responsibility to the state officials to make sure that we're doing our job, that there does need to be some accountability. But the people that are on the front lines really need to be making the decisions for what's best for our kids. And when it comes to academic achievement, if something is working, and more importantly, as a principal, I see the consequences of going back to something than from something that we know is working. I think we've got, like everybody said, we have a culture that has been shaped around this particular schedule, and as a result, our students are gaining in achievement. If you look at some of the top three scores on the sheet that actually the superintendent from McCrae actually created that sheet and supplied it to me, if you look at that, some of those schools, when that data trend did dip down, those top two, three schools went up. And that's a four-day, I honestly think that's a four-day result. That's my opinion. But overwhelmingly, I'm not a proponent. When I came into a principalship and came into a four-day school, I wasn't necessarily for or against for the four-day. I'm changed. I'm absolutely for the four-day. So I don't think it's we do just need to make sure that the teachers and administration and the school boards do have the control to do what's right for kids. And yes, there does need to be some accountability, though.
Representative Norness, but members, what we need to do now when we're apart from each other is study the materials we received today. Talk in your caucuses. Representative Mariani and I will get together to see what would be the best way to proceed. But I will be laying this bill on the table so that we can come back to it. But in the meantime, Representative Norness, you have a question.
Madam Chair, be very quick. I do have one district in my legislative district of the four-day week, and they very much support that idea, and I do too. The question, since Black Duck is at the table,
yes,
somebody
please.
Told me that you prefer to start school after Labor Day. Can you confirm that?
I can neither
Principal.
Confirm nor deny that remark.
Representative Daphne.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And a question for the author. I don't know if you were in the room for the whole of the hearing, do you support the current prohibition on school starting before Labor Day?
Representative Miller.
Madam Chair, Representative Daphne, thank you for that question. I think the best way to answer that is sort of what the principal just said, is that I support that decision is made at the school board level.
So, Madam Chair, Representative, you'd support the Norton bill?
I would.
Thank you.
Are there other questions? Members, with that, then, I will lay House File 197 on the table, and we will come back to it at a very close future date. Thank you. This meeting is adjourned.